It's called Under the Green Ceiling. Under the Green Ceiling. Two men walk along the edge of a country road. One is joking and talking about girls, describing the abrupt curve from waist to buttocks and how it sometimes seems the whole world lives there. As he talks, he idly tosses rocks into the field on his right, a field of purple clover spotted with yellow flowers. The rocks clip the flowers or green leaves, then disappear into the darkness beneath. It is a cloudless afternoon in midsummer, and in the distance, a green locomotive drags a string of red boxcars toward the horizon. The other man has hardly eaten for 2 days. He is silent and has almost made up his mind that when they reach the shelter of the woods half a mile distant, he will rob his companion. We met only that morning. He has a knife and intends only to show it, but if the other man wants to fight, well, so much the worse for him. And he imagines how the knife will slide up under the ribs, how he'll drag the body off the road, then escape over the field to the railway line. So, while the one man talks about girls, the other tries to steel himself and feel hatred for his companion, tries to make him the focus for all that has gone wrong in his life, the loss of his job, desertion of his family. Shortly, the man talking about girls begins to think of his wife, who he hasn't seen for nearly a month. And partly he talks to keep from thinking about her, and partly to keep her a teasing question in his mind. Will she still love him? Has she found someone else? He thinks of times they made love when he would sit back on his haunches, straddling her ankles, and see how her body was spread out beneath him. And as he talks, the memory of his wife naked upon the bed fills his mind, while the rocks he tosses into the field become the fears of betrayal and desertion that he one by one pushes from him. Days later, the other man is arrested in the city. And as he awaits the slow unfolding of justice, he tells himself how foolish his companion had been with his constant talk about girls, and how he deserved all that had happened. He has no sense of himself as a fragment. He has no sense of how he and his dead companion made up one man. Add a third, and he's still one man. Add a fourth, likewise. But by himself, he's a fragment of wall, part of a broken pot. He's like the quivering rodent under its protection of leaves, terrified when the chance rock crashes through its green ceiling, victim of a world that is endlessly random and violent.